You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I am your host, your pal in the Katie Kopitoff in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. Show's on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. You can find this show anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or you can ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today I got a couple of special treats for you. We are continuing with our two-week-long crossover marathon. Really cool crossover event we're doing right now. The entire NFC North is doing a crossover every day with the entire AFC South since their divisions play each other. Next week, it's going to be the NFC North and the NFC South. I think at some point in the summer, we're going to do another Ultimate Division crossover with the Packers, Lions, and Bears guys. It's kind of like what we did before the festivities of the offseason started. So a lot of cool stuff coming your way. And today, we are talking to Cody Davis and John Hickman of Locked On Texans. So we'll talk about we'll commiserate about our mutual loss of beloved franchise wide receivers. And after that, that'll be the first part of the show. And the second part of the show, I actually was able to sit down with a member of the Vikings, undrafted free agent, offensive lineman, Brady Aiello, the guy out of Oregon that we talked about on yesterday's show, actually sat down with me and I got to talk a little bit about him and his story. So that is going to be the rest of the show. So before I get too rambly, let's get right into it and we'll talk to Cody Davis and John Hickman of Locked On Texans. Okay, everybody, I am here, Luke Braun with Locked On Vikings, here with Cody Davis and John Hickman of Locked On Texans. How's it going, guys?
It's going good, man.
Going well.
So, flipping things around and talking about the Texans, I have a lot of curiosities with the Texans and the way they're run, because I think on a macro level, they're one of the more fascinating teams out there. Obviously, there's the DeAndre Hopkins trade. There's a lot of very curious things. I mean, is David Johnson exciting? What about Laremy Tunsil? Did you overpay? And just like the general vibe around Bill O'Brien seems to be very, I'll go with controversial. But I wonder what you guys think. I mean, is Bill O'Brien the guy for the job, or are you kind of, you know, sharpening your pitchforks and lighting your torches with everybody else?
You know, I think everybody here in Houston is doing a little bit of that, because this is a franchise since 2010, right? Well, just in the duration of the AFC South as we know it now, you know, we've won the AFC South division how many times? But every team in the division has made it to the AFC title game. That's frustrating. And it seems like a lot of the moves that were made in the last 2 to 3 years, hell, dating back to Dwayne Brown, Andre Johnson, a lot of these moves that have been made was just moves based off of emotion. And it does not, it does not sit well with the team, with the fans out here, with the franchise lovers that go to games faithfully Sunday, even Saturday games, Monday games, Thursday night games. You know, it really bothers us, but credit where credit is due. We did not sign Jadeveon Clowney back. He didn't sign the franchise tag. That worked out in the favor of the Texans. He's still unsigned. He did not have over 5 sacks last year. Maybe he did just a little bit over, but he didn't get those double-digit sacks where he wanted to get paid for, like DeMarcus Lawrence. And right now, he had to lower his asking price. So we won on that. He's won on a lot of deals that he's made. It's just that the reaction to when they're first done is, oh my gosh, we got to get this guy the hell out of Houston. But I don't think he will ever recover from the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
That sounds fair. I would say if you're looking for optimism about Bill O'Brien, he has something that the Vikings Rick Spielman does not have, and that's that he hit on a quarterback in the draft. And that's the next guy I want to talk about. Because, you know, looking forward to the actual matchup between the Vikings and the Texans. Vikings are going to travel to Houston this year. We'll actually find out later in the week when. The biggest challenge with stopping the Houston Texans without Nuke in the building is going to be, how do you stop Deshaun Watson? And so I guess I'm looking for a little bit of info from behind enemy lines here, where, you know, What's the game plan if you are a defense game planning for Deshaun Watson? What's the strategy that actually has a chance of slowing down his dynamic playmaking and his improv ability? I mean, a lot of times he reminds me of like a young Aaron Rodgers out there.
And that's the thing. I'm not saying it's just because, you know, one, I cover him, and two, I'm a fan, but there's no such thing as stopping Deshaun Watson. And the only time you were able to say, well, the one thing that I would say that you might have a chance in slowing down Watson, and it's not something that the defense will do, it's something that he has to overcome as he enters his fourth year in the league, and that's getting rid of the ball early enough. I have been covering Deshaun Watson ever since, what, about two, going into my second year now, actually third. And Watson has always had this knack about him where he holds on to the ball so long because he is a talent that can make something out of nothing. We've seen on multiple occasions where a play might look dead and he can pull something out of a play to get you that first down, to drive it to a first and 20 or even for a touchdown. But sometimes he'll hold on to the ball too long to the point where he gets sacked. Half of his sacks is his fault. So I'm hoping going into this next season, to me, the only thing that's keeping Deshaun Watson from entering his name into that elite talent of Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying he's there yet, but he has to fix that one thing about his game, and that's giving up the ball in time where he won't get those unnecessary sacks. Because I believe it was in 2018 where he got sacked about 50 to 60 times. At least half of those sacks was his fault because he kept holding on to the ball so long. So I will say, you know, once again, there's no such thing as stopping Deshaun Watson, but if he can get rid of that ball soon enough, you know, he's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, that's definitely like the next step. And sometimes you can do that schematically, you know, just get a quick like spot route or something, or, you know, have a good check down. Maybe that's what David Johnson's for. But I kind of want to flip over to the defense. Of course, you know, you have J.J. Watt when he's healthy. You don't have Jadeveon Clowney anymore. He's a free agent. I don't know. Maybe anything could happen. But I guess outside of J.J. Watt, who's, of course, you know, face of the franchise, beloved, whatever, who is the person on defense that is the difference maker that defines what the Houston Texans defense is?
Zach Cunningham.
Okay.
Yeah. So Zach Cunningham is one of the guys that we want to keep around for a very long time. And it was really a shame that he did not make an All-Pro roster last year. He had 142 combined tackles, two sacks. He didn't have an interception, but he had a phenomenal year. And out of the top five tackle leaders in the NFL, Zach Cunningham was the only one in the AFC in that five. Out of the top 10, I believe there are only two or three, he led all AFC in tackles. Outside of Zach Cunningham, moving forward, I think we have an investment in Bradley Roby. And he had a very good year last year when he was on the field. Even though he's a nickel cornerback and he does move around a lot, between him and Reed in the secondary, those two have a lot of expectations within the next 2 to 3 years. But if I could just pick someone right outside of J.J. Watt, I'm definitely going with Zach Cunningham.
That's really all I have for you guys. Thank you so much for answering some of my questions, teaching me a little bit about the Texans.
Yeah, no problem. Absolutely.
So that was Cody Davin and John Hickman of Locked On Texans. You can find all their information in the show notes if you want to go follow them. You can also go check out their show. They asked me questions before we flipped around and talked about the Texans. They asked me questions about the Vikings. So if you want to hear that conversation, talking about Diggs, talking about the future of Zimmer and Spielman, a little bit about Kirk Cousins, you can go listen to Locked On Texans today. They should have that up over there. But now I want to turn around and talk to Brady Aiello. I got him on the phone here, and we are going to chat a little bit. But before I dial him in real quick, this show is brought to you by Built Bar. They are a breakfast bar, or a snack bar that you can think about like a Cliff Bar, but without the guilt. It's pretty healthy for you, and it tastes, been sent a little sampler, so I've been kind of trying them all week here, and they're really nice. I don't like too sweet of a bar in the morning. I don't like too much sugar. I feel like if I have like a Clif bar, it feels like too much sugar, and I feel like almost sick, and this definitely doesn't make me feel that way, but it still tastes really great. It's chocolatey. They have all kinds of different flavors. They have nutty flavors, fruity flavors. If you have a nut allergy, they have a lot of flavors that are good for you to eat. So if you go to builtbar.com and order some of their bars off of their website, you can actually get 10% off if you enter promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. So that's builtbar.com, enter promo code LOCKEDON at checkout and get 10% off your order. Okay, everybody, I am here with Brady Aiello. I hope I pronounced that right, Brady. Brady Aiello is here on the phone with me to talk about his transition now going from the Oregon Ducks offensive line to the Vikings offensive line. What's going on, Brady?
Good, man. Yeah, you actually pronounced it right. Not many people do. It's a tricky last name when you're looking at it on paper. You got like five vowels and seven total letters. So yeah, it's pretty hard, but you got it on the head.
Yes, good. I was worried about that. How you doing, man? Welcome to the Vikings.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Super stoked. And yeah, man, looking forward to the adventure that this rookie year is going to be.
Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, people's kind of journey to the NFL and to the Vikings, I'm always curious to know kind of like what makes yours, you know, like what makes your journey? I mean, everybody kind of said, okay, you know, I was pretty good in high school, pretty good in college. Now I'm getting a chance in the NFL. But what makes your story unique to you? Like if there was one thing about your kind of background that defines you, what would you say it is?
Yeah, man, I mean, I feel like I don't have the typical backstory of how this kid who's a super high recruit got to play at a premier university and then played well there and then made it to the NFL. I mean, I had no idea that I was going to be even playing D1 ball. I thought it was going to be like D2 at best because back in high school, I only played 3 years. And quite honestly, I was like weighing 220 pounds. And as you know, I mean, as an offensive lineman, you can't be weighing 220 pounds. So after my junior year, my my head coach pretty much sat me down, sat my parents down, and we kind of went over. He pretty much told us, he's like, hey, your kid, talking about me, can play D1 ball. We kind of thought he was crazy because, I mean, I was getting no looks to any universities and all that. So long story short, we grinded that off season. I put on like 40, 50 pounds and ended up getting some offers, and Oregon was my favorite. So yeah, I went to Oregon and eventually found my way here.
That's awesome. So I actually kind of want to follow up on the like putting on a bunch of weight thing, because it's something that the Vikings and their offensive linemen do a whole bunch. I think Brian O'Neill has put on like 50 pounds since he joined. I know Pat Elflein's put on a bunch of weight, and they have quite a lot of, you know, weight gain stuff. But I personally don't know a lot about what that entails in terms of, I know I've heard the stories about waking up at 3 a.m. to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and stuff, but I don't really know what that's like. I would love to hear about like what kind of grind that is, because I feel like that's a different grind than, you know, get up at 6 a.m. work out every day. Like the putting on weight seems like it's its own kind of beast.
Yeah, I mean, it totally is. I mean, I had to do this back in high school, so I didn't have the resources that people did, you know, people had in college, people have now in the NFL. And so shout out to my mom. I mean, she was making protein shakes like four times a day, because like I'd be at school and she would have to like drive over halfway, like right before lunch, and I'd like pick up my protein shake and drink that. But I mean, yeah, putting on weight. I mean, if you eat a lot of calories, I mean, science does the rest. You know, you're going to put on weight. So, I mean, combine that with lifting weights every day and having the, being 18. So, you know, that'll do it. But yeah, man, that's kind of how I did it.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, making sure that it's the right kind of weight, because I'm sure if we all put our minds to it, we could put on 40 pounds easily, but it's a matter of actually staying athletic too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You can't be, you know, making your trips to McDonald's every day. I mean, you can easily put on 40 pounds that way, but, yeah, that ain't going to help you on the field.
Yeah, don't we all know it? So I also want to talk about something sticking with like the high school part of your career, because I saw that there was a kind of a year in the middle that was a year off. A lot of people said, oh, I only played 3 years in high school because I didn't get into football till sophomore year. But you actually like took a year off. And I really want to know like about the mentality of that. And I mean, were you considering hanging him up? Were you just not into it for the time being and kind of, and then what happened to get you back into it to the point where you were willing to like go to college for it and all that stuff? I would love to know that part of your story.
Yeah, man. I mean, I totally had no intention of coming back after, I left the game after my freshman year of high school. Freshman year of high school. And so, yeah, I mean, I took that JV year off and like I said earlier, college really wasn't an option at the point, you know, when I was playing my junior year. So what kind of brought me back to playing football was my coach. He was honestly like, yeah, like you can play, you know, like you can have a good time playing football, you know, with that, with your high school buddies that you grew up with. And I definitely thought about the future Brady, you know, looking back on him and if he would be happy with his decision to fully hang him up, or actually, like, you know, like, let's just give this one more shot and, you know, carry it out for the rest of high school. And then, you know, I guess the story played out where I got my offer and made things happen to, you know, make it to here. But it's pretty crazy thinking about, you know, if I did just stop after my freshman year, where would I be now? You know, I definitely wouldn't be here. So,
yeah, that's a really fun to think about now, all these years later. I'm Luke Braun here on Locked On Vikings talking to Brady Aiello, new undrafted free agent rookie for the Vikings. We are going to be right back and we're going to talk a little bit more X's and O's. Okay, Luke Braun here of Locked On Vikings here with Brady Aiello of the Minnesota Vikings. And now I want to talk a little bit about some on-field stuff with you, if that's okay. First, I want to start with the thing that I think is the most fun. Tell me about the big boy touchdown. Tell me what was going through your head when that play call came out through the huddle and you knew you'd be running a red zone route.
Yeah, man. I mean, this was totally – I never thought that this play was actually going to be called. It actually turns out I found out after the game that our run game coordinator – pretty much called a run play off the same, you know, the same play concept that we actually ran, but the actual play caller overruled that and called the play where I was running a route. So I mean, we literally put that play in like 2-3 days before the game, and I just got lucky to be, because it was a goal line play, we happened to be on the 1-yard line, and just got lucky that it got called, and yeah, the rest is history.
That's so much fun. And so correct me if I'm wrong here, because it's tough to find college tape, but you had a little bit more experience being that kind of that OL6 while there were other guys starting at like the guard and the tackle positions. And I know that you switched a lot of positions, but is there anything particularly different about that kind of sixth guy and lining up outside the tackle versus playing something more traditional like a left tackle or a right guard or whatever?
I mean, you just got to know tight end roles. I only did that for, it was only about 3 games this season. So, because other than that, I was either playing guard or tackle, but yeah, for the first 3 games, you just got to know. I mean, I was already there for 4+ years. So I already kind of knew what the tight ends do on pretty much every running play. So the transition was pretty easy. But yeah, I mean, it's not like you got separate rules for being a sixth tackle. I mean, that sixth tackle is, you know, what a tight end would be doing normally. They just want to pick a body in there. So, so yeah, man, it was, I thought it was pretty fun playing that role.
That is fun. So with like all the position switching and stuff, because I think the versatility is a big thing that like you can bring to the Vikings. And I actually have a question about this. This is something I've wondered for a long time. So maybe you can help me out, because correct me if I'm wrong here, but you've played both left and right side and you've played both tackle and guard. And my question is, which switch is harder? If you say start off and you play a bunch of left tackle, would you rather they switch you to right tackle or rather they switch you to left guard? Like, which would be a more difficult transition to make?
That's a good question. That's hard. I mean, what I did personally, I played left tackle my redshirt freshman year for I think it was 12 games I played left tackle, and then following year, I kind of moved right tackle. And at first, it's kind of weird because you're pretty much just flipping what you would normally do at your previous position. But it's the same rules, it's the same techniques, it's all that. But switching from tackle to guard, you're actually switching up, you know, your techniques. You're actually switching up your, you know, from tackle to guard. There's much different rules that you got to play by. So I think transitioning from tackle, from you know, one side to the other in tackle is a lot easier than going from one position to another.
That definitely makes sense, even though, you know, there's the famous quotes about, like, wiping your ass with your left hand or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So looking ahead to, you know, your time with the Vikings and, you know, what you can look forward to there, do you have any, I guess this is kind of a fun moment where you're about to experience something that's going to be really, really new, right? Like a pro training camp. That's everybody, all the new players come in and say, oh, wow, this is crazy. But you don't get a lot of chance to, like, talk to guys like you in this moment where you know you're about to experience it, but you haven't yet. So I would love to hear about, like, your expectations when it comes to, like, what is this going to be like? And I know that, you know, with COVID-19, training camp might be a little weird. Maybe we can talk about that if we get time. But assume that some miracle happens and you'll get a normal training camp. What kind of expectations do you have for that?
Man, I'm just going to be open to it, you know, just kind of be a sponge and take whatever happens, you know, and so I'm not really expecting a ton. I'm just kind of do what I did back in college every day, you know, come out, do your best, you know, expect everything and you know, really just attack it head on and you know, no days off mentality. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard. I mean, there's no question about that. There's a whole new playbook you got to learn. There's a whole new locker room. You got guys that are 30 years old in there with, you know, a wife and two kids. So it's definitely different in that aspect, but I mean, football's football and it's going to be really demanding. It's going to be really, you know, really taxing on your body. But, I mean, hey, that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years. So.
Yeah. And it's definitely like a difficult position to kind of walk in as a free agent rookie and try to kind of, you know, make your presence known. So best of luck with all that. So obviously we're in a pretty weird time right now where there's not a lot to do. What kind of stuff are you doing right now to pass the time, to stay in shape? I think that, you know, especially with NFL and, but even with college athletes, the workout regimen is always an interesting thing to me in terms of just the level of intensity and all that. But I guess that's a lot different right now because you probably don't have access to all the same facilities and equipment and stuff. So I would love to know about how you have adapted, you know, what jerry-rigged weird stuff have you set up in your garage? Tell me about how you figured out how to kind of keep the regimen going in this strange dead period.
Yeah, man. I mean, in the beginning, before this all got, you know, pretty out of hand, I was up in Eugene, Oregon, where the University of Oregon's campus is, and I was working out there with my old strength coach and you know, things were great, but when all this got, you know, got pretty crazy and everything went down, the gym closed up there, so there's no real point of me staying up there and doing what I would just do down here, speaking about my home area right now. So I moved back down to home so I can obviously be with my family. And yeah, man, I've just been doing my own thing. I mean, I've been going to high school, you know, early mornings, just putting in work, doing my running, doing my position work. And then I've got my trainer from my pre-combine, pre-pro day, training facility. He's been sending us workouts to do at home, you know, if we don't have weights, which in my case, I don't, but you can actually still get really good workouts in, even if you don't have weights and, you know, just got your body weight. And luckily I'm 310 pounds. So, moving some weight is a lot easier for me than a guy who's 140. So yeah, I mean, it's been good for sure. I mean, I've been making it work and it is, you know, it's a bad situation with all this going on, but you know, you just got to make the most of it.
I love it. Yeah. I guess that's kind of where we're all at. So that's just about, I've taken up plenty of your time already. So, I'll let you go and get back to protein shakes and lifting weights. How about that?
All right. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for calling in, man. Cheers.
Of course. You too.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this guest-heavy episode of Locked On Vikings. I am Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. You can find the show anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or just ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. We have, I believe, Locked On Jaguars on tomorrow's crossover, so stick around for that, and we'll talk to Locked On Colts. I've actually been on Locked On Colts once this offseason talking about Rhodes, so we'll probably banter a little bit about that too. So stick around. That's the whole week, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for listening, and as always, Skol.